Welcome back. You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. PJ Glasser alongside Jared Smith. Bill Bender going to join us here in a few minutes, a few seconds, really. We're going to have the NBC Sports Now Power Hour coming up. We'll recap the Open Championship round two. We got tee times for round three that we'll let you know about, update you on the live odds as well. We'll talk some more NFL, and we'll wrap up the show and head towards the weekend. But let's continue talking college football as Bill Bender joins us now, Sporting News senior writer. Give him a follow on X, at BillBender92. And Bill, Jared and I were just talking about the Big Ten, and we were talking about Oregon, obviously the number one seed going into the playoff last year. Lose a lot of production, but Dan Lanning and company, they regroup, they go into the portal, bring in a lot of talent. What do you expect out of the Ducks this year? Do you think they're a playoff team once again in 2025-2026?
I do, and I think they're probably the least talked about playoff team. You know, they still have talent. If Dante Moore's it, Mekhi Hughes, you mentioned the transfer portal additions. They're typically strong on the offensive and defensive lines, and Dan Lanning doesn't lose much. So, and they don't play Ohio State or Michigan. So you've got to wonder, is this a team that we should maybe talk about a little bit more as they get ready for what is weird to say as a lifelong Big Ten fan, that Oregon is the defending Big Ten champions. Those are things I didn't think I would ever say.
Yeah, it's funny, Bill. Again, you know, we've gone down this road before. We've talked a bunch over the last month or so. I'm a Penn State guy, so I don't love the fact that they lost to Oregon in the Big Ten championship. But I'm sure Oregon doesn't like the fact that their last game was an absolute butt-whooping. And I think that's the biggest key for Oregon this year, is you had all the expectation last year. You had the undefeated record heading into the playoff, and then you were just completely de-pantsed. And Ohio State made it look like they had one of the worst rosters in college football. I know you're never as bad as your worst loss, never as good as your best win. But with Dante Moore, there's this aura of, like, we don't know. And if he is on the positive side of the average quarterback spectrum, the rest of the roster looks absolutely stacked, and their schedule is very manageable. So it is interesting that, you know, Oregon's coming off this bad loss, and everyone just kind of forgot that they're this elite program.
For sure, and yeah, that's a great point. Their last impression, and I think Dante Moore's the key. You know, look at the work Dan Lanning has done with Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel, and how they've seamlessly done this. And now you have a guy that was willing to sit for a year. He transfers. I think he'll play great, by the way. I really do. And, you know, this Oregon team came in last year. I go back to Big Ten Media Day last year. That Dan Lanning wasn't like – needed to be appreciative, but they weren't scared coming in. Remember they put that duck, the inflatable duck, on the Indianapolis River? I mean, they announced their presence. There's no fear. And, you know, again, we've talked so much about Penn State and Ohio State and everything they have coming back, that I think it's a great point that Oregon is probably a little under the radar when you consider Dan Lanning's playoff, or not playoff percentage, but winning percentage the last 3 years.
Yeah, no question. Bill, Indiana was obviously one of the great stories of college football last season, and I think heading into this year, we're all looking for that Indiana out of the Big Ten. We all expect kind of the top teams, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, Michigan, all be good. Most of them, if not all of them, maybe make the playoff. But then who's going to be that Indiana that maybe surprises and has the chance to make the playoff this year? Who's that under-the-radar team in the Big Ten that you think maybe has a chance of going to the postseason?
Well, I would say Illinois, but they're going to be ranked in the top 15. So are we saying that Illinois is under the radar? I doubt it. I mean, they have a lot of talent. They have a chance to be this year's Indiana from the standpoint they play Indiana early. Their schedule's favorable. They play Ohio State at home. Brett Bielema's feeling it. Got a three-year starter in Luke Altmaier. They're going to be pretty good. An off-the-radar pick would be like Washington or Iowa. Mm-hmm. You know, what if Iowa works out with Mark Gronowski and their defense is really good as usual? You know, what if Nebraska takes that next step with Dylan Raiola? Washington definitely off the radar, but they're talented and they've got a favorable schedule with Ohio State coming to them. So those are kind of the three. And, you know, I haven't mentioned Michigan. I don't think Michigan's off the radar. I think Michigan's probably falls into that Oregon discussion. We know they have a ton of talent, a freshman quarterback, but how will it work out on the field?
Bill, were you listening to our last segment? That sounds very – no, we just did a segment right before you. And PJ was just kind of rapid fire. Hey, like, you know, what are some of these mid-tier Big Ten teams? And Gronowski really did stand out. I mean, you probably, unless you're a really big college football fan or you're someone who covers a sport like you, you probably don't know what that name really means, but he's one of the most prolific and one of the most decorated quarterbacks in FCS history. I am fascinated with how that situation plays out. Mendoza at Indiana, that's another one. And I know it's tough with anything Indiana does anymore with their new head coach, very boisterous, obviously very exciting year last year for the Hoosiers. I don't know if you can consider the Hoosiers off the radar, but I do think, you know, I'm a little bit excited to see what they can do in year two. What do we make of Indiana?
So a couple things. My editor, one of my friends at Sporting News, Matt Latofsky, he's a North Dakota State guy. So I know about Gronowski from the other sideline. You know, there's a big rivalry between those schools, obviously. So I watched him play enough. And Indiana, you say off the radar until probably next week. It's so interesting to see maybe what Kurt Cignetti will say at Big Ten Media Day and put them back on the radar, because their schedule is about the same. You know, he was our coach of the year last year, did a phenomenal job. It is a tough encore. I do like Mendoza. I think Mendoza's a guy that could really play well in that offense. And then defensively, they have guys back. Pons, Aiden Fisher. Kamara had 10.5 sacks last year. D'Angelo Pons might be one of the best cover corners in the country. A little undersized, but I like his game. And I think they're going to be good again. So we haven't heard the last of Kurt Cignetti is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Bill. We're talking with Bill Bender, Sporting News senior writer. Give him a follow on X at BillBender92. Bill, let's move over to the SEC, and I'll give you three teams that need to win this season, coaches that all need to win this season, and who's the team that you think and the coach that needs to have the best of the three? Is it Brian Kelly at LSU? Is it Hugh Freeze at Auburn? Or is it Venables at Oklahoma?
As you were framing that question, literally Brian Kelly and Hugh Freeze popped into my head first, and I was trying to pick, okay, which one do I say? I think Hugh Freeze probably needs to win 8 games more and show that they can win a little bit with Jackson Arnold and the receivers, but there's absolutely more pressure on Brian Kelly and LSU to get into the playoff with the roster that they have and Garrett Nussmeier and all of those things, plus a tough opener against Clemson. And then as you finished, I was thinking, is he going to say Kalen DeBoer now? But you said Venables, which is probably, of those three, the guy that might be on the hottest seat because they play that big early season game against Michigan. So I would say all of the above. Most pressure to get to the playoff, Brian Kelly. Most pressure to have, you know, job security is probably Hugh Freeze, but it's really close with Venables.
Mm. Clemson's the team that everyone thinks is going to win the ACC this year. I watched a good film study on Klubnik earlier this week. The word slippery is the word that comes to mind. I think he's a guy that I feel comfortable that he can maybe not win a Heisman, but at least be in the conversation. And, man, what Clemson's done, you know, adding a lot more than expected this year. Like, they actually went out and brought in some guys from other schools, which is not something that Dabo does often. So maybe they're starting to adapt to the portal a little bit. And if Klubnik really is the guy that can take them to the next level, like, what's the ceiling for Clemson this year? Like, we know they're going to win the ACC or at least be in that favorites role for most of the year, but that's more of a knock on the ACC than anything else. Does Clemson have national title potential, or is there a glass ceiling because of the conference they play in and just the overall talent around Klubnik?
Oh, I mean, they could win the national title. That's, and I haven't said that for a few years. They've had 5 or 6 guys in our NFL big board top 50. I'm a believer in, like, demeanor. So I don't know. I'm sure you guys saw the Brian Kelly thing with Dabo Swinney the other day. I didn't know he was a singer for Florida Georgia Line, by the way. But my point is, Dabo's loose right now. He's been loose when they're good, and I'm a believer in that. So I think they've got a really good roster, and be interesting to see what those guys have to say at ACC media kickoff next week. Between Woods and Parker, you've got 2 studs on. They always have studs. When they have the guys on the defensive line, and they do this year, they're pretty good. Like you said, good enough to win the ACC, sure. Good enough to beat LSU, can't wait to find out, because three of Clemson's four losses last year were to SEC schools.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a great week one game there in Death Valley in Clemson. Should be a lot of fun. Bill, we got a couple of minutes left. How do you think Bill Belichick in Chapel Hill is going to go in year one? Do you think this is, are you one of those people that think it's just going to be a complete dumpster fire? Do you actually think they could be competitive, win 7-8 games in a couple minutes? How do you think Belichick is going to fare in Chapel Hill?
I think you'll get them to a bowl game. So it's like every win after 7 would be a success. They did lose a lot. I'm intrigued, like everybody else, to see how this works. I'll be down at ACC kickoff next week, so I know what his press conferences are going to be like. They're going to be a lot of short answers. I know that over the years. But the intrigue factor is really high going into that TCU game. How long does he keep interest in this? Is this just the stunt to get back in the NFL? You know, obviously, with Jordan, the girlfriend factor, which has raised the level of nonsense with this whole story. And quite frankly, I don't want to do that part of it. But I think on the football side, does that Patriot way work on a college football field? And that's probably the most intriguing thing to me.
No question. Can't wait. That week one game, as you mentioned, against TCU, going to be really good as the college football season is getting closer and closer. Bill Bender, Sporting News senior writer. Follow him on X, at BillBender92. Bill, always appreciate the time. Hope to catch up again soon.
Hey, let's do it again soon. Thanks so much for having me on. Take care.
Absolutely.
Thanks
Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Jared, what do you think is going to happen with old Chapel Bill there in year one?
I mean, under 7.5 wins was one of the first bets I made college football. And TCU, I got a point. I think I got +1 in that week one game. I'm fading it until someone gives me a reason not to fade it.
I mean, you want to talk about distractions, right? They've had a lot of that at UNC so far this offseason. NBC Sports Now Power Hour coming up next. PJ Glasser, Jared Smith, You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.